So today we will briefly go through these 30 chapters of 10th Canto, 10.21 to 50. We will cover all the five Gitas, Gopi Gita, Venu Gita, Yugala Gita, Viraha Gita, Bhramar Gita in one class. Rasa Panchadhyay, Vrindavan, Vrindavan final episodes, Mathura initial episodes, entering Dwaraka, Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwaraka, all three we will cover. Briefly, this is special overview, but will be more brief because we lost some time. The first 20 chapters of 10th Canto, they describe Krishna's birth and his coming from Mathura to Gokul and performing various pastimes there, like killing Putana, Trinavarta, Shakatasur, then Mridabhakshan Leela, Damodar Leela, Nalakuvera Mani Griva, their deliverance, Bakasur, Aghasur, and Kaliya, swallowing forest fire twice. So these are all the various episodes. And 20th chapter is monsoon in Vrindavan. So monsoon ended in 20th chapter. And autumn began in 21st chapter. Now it is the beginning of autumn. Sharad Purnima is coming very soon. So it's very apt that we are describing, we are giving overview now. In the 21st chapter, this gopi's feelings towards Krishna are described. How when Krishna entered the forest, all the gopis who stayed back in the village, they started remembering all the activities of Krishna, whatever he does in the forests, and especially his flute song. That is the theme of 10th Canto, 21st chapter. After describing Krishna's activities in monsoon in 20th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is describing Krishna's activities in autumn in 21st chapter. That's how it begins. When Krishna is entering Vrindavan, he was playing flute and gopis heard that song of Krishna, the flute sound coming from Krishna, and they gathered together privately and started describing the transcendental qualities of Krishna. And this most important verse and beautiful verse comes in this context, Barahapidam. Barahapidam natavaravapuhu karnayor karnikaram bibhradvasah kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam randhran venoradhara sudhaya purayan gopa vrindair vrindaranyam svapadaramanam pravishad gita kirtihim. So this verse comes, that is describing Krishna's entrance into Vrindavan. And later all the gopis say that the purpose of having eyes is to see Krishna and Balaram dancing. Akshanvatam falamidam na param vidama. There is no other purpose of eyes. Why are you elders criticizing us, the gopis, for getting attracted to Krishna or seeing Krishna? The purpose of having eyes is to see Krishna. That's not only in our case, it's true in your case also. Then Krishna played flute and Smarodaya, the cupid arrows in the hearts of all these gopis, and they started describing Krishna's, how various living entities were affected by Krishna's flute sound, how peacocks were affected. Govinda Venu Manumoda Mayura Nrityam, all the Mayuras, the beautiful peacocks, they were dancing, hearing the flute sound of Krishna. All the deer and buck, they came towards Krishna, and the male deer, which are considered the husbands of the female deer, they were allowing this deer to get attracted to Krishna's song flute, Krishna's flute song. The gopis were complaining that our husbands do not allow us to get attracted to Krishna's flute sound. Even the demigoddesses also were attracted to Krishna's flute sound when they are traveling in airplanes, and their husbands, they don't mind. And all the cows are attracted to Krishna's flute sound. When the calves were drinking milk from the udders of the cows, the milk overflows from their mouths. They cannot even concentrate on that because they were diverted by Krishna's flute sound. Cows shed tears. And the river embraces Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet by its waves and also offers these lotus flowers as offerings to Krishna. And all the birds, they become like sages, munis, to when Krishna sings his songs on the flute. And even the summer clouds also start raining, some droplets, so that Krishna's fatigue of sun can be relieved. The cloud becomes very merciful. By coming on top of Krishna, the cloud gives shade and also gives some very soothing showers. And aboriginal girls of Vrindavan are so fortunate to be able to see the lotus footprints of Krishna in the forests. And Govardhan Hill is so glorious that Krishna enters the caves of Vrindavan, caves of Govardhan, and he has wonderful pastimes. Hantaya Madrirabala Haridasa Varyu Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramodaha Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayor Yat Pani Yasuyavasakandara Kandamuli. And gopis were absorbed in such discussions about Krishna. They were imitating the pastimes of Krishna, and all these were being narrated by Sukadeva Goswami. After this chapter, another incident Sukadeva Goswami describes. Krishna steals the garments of the gopis. Gopis were doing some Katyayani Vrata to get Krishna as their husband. To fulfill their desires, Krishna comes when they were taking bath in the river, and he steals their garments. And there was a lot of discussion between the gopis and Krishna. Krishna asked the gopis, "You come out of the waters and raise your hands and request me for clothes, then only I will give you. A woman cannot appear naked in front of any man. That is not culture. She can appear naked only in front of a husband." So by asking all these gopis to come in front of him like that, Krishna actually accepted them as his wives, because that was their desire, to have Krishna as their husbands. So gopis were so they were so affectionate and they were so dedicated and loving towards Krishna that they did not even care to come in front of Krishna without clothes. Right? Although they were thoroughly cheated and deprived of their modesty, for a chaste woman in the Vedic culture to steal their garments and then you come in front. So that's like a very, it's not a very common behavior, right, in those days. It's not proper also. But Krishna did all that. So although Krishna did like that, apparently improper treatment or whatever, they were deprived of their modesty, they were ridiculed and made to act like toy dolls. Just like dolls. But still, they were not inimical towards Krishna. That is their surrender. When someone just questions you or insults you or humiliates you or makes you do something very embarrassing and humiliating, still to be dedicated to such a person is not a very easy thing. Right? It's like taking away garments of a woman and just asking her to come in front without clothes. It's like no one can go to such an extent. Right? When a man is asked to, okay, you remove your kurta and then walk like this. That is considered a punishment. There is ragging, right, in schools and colleges, right? So it's unimaginable, but Krishna did all that. But gopis did not have any inimical feelings towards Krishna. So one cannot even conceive these things. That's why they are the topmost gopis, topmost devotees of Krishna. They were simply joyful to have such an opportunity to associate with Krishna in such an intimate way. So like that, Krishna reciprocated with the gopis. So these episodes are not easily understandable or conceivable by ordinary people who still have material desires and lusty inclinations, etc. They cannot understand them completely. So, Krishna later glorifies the trees of Vrindavan. Krishna goes for herding with his friends and observes the trees and glorifies them. Etavat janma safalyam dehinam iha dehishu pranair arthair dhiya vacha shreya acharanam sada. So one day Krishna, on that same day, when he stole the garments of the gopis, so Krishna went and glorified the trees of Vrindavan and gave us a lot of lessons from the nature of trees. How trees are accepting so much of shade, so much of heat and wind and sunlight and all these things, natural calamities, and just giving shade to people and giving their flowers and fruits and other resources, firewood, etc. So like that, one's existence has to be dedicated for the welfare of people in general. One's prana, prana is life, artha, wealth, dhiya, intelligence, vacha, words. So all these things need to be dedicated for welfare of people in general. Shreya acharanam sada tapyante lokatapena sadhavah prayasho janah paramaradhanam tadhi purushasya akhilatmanah. Great souls undergo a lot of tapasya so that common people will benefit. Janasya krishna vimukhasya devata dharma shilasya sudukhitasya anugrahayeha charanti nunam bhutani bhavyani janardhanasya. So to convert the rebellious atheistic people towards devotional service, great souls endeavor a lot, right? They travel. So this is the nature of philanthropic, real philanthropic souls, great souls, magnanimous acharyas, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. One such example is this. Later, gopas became hungry, and the gopas expressed to Krishna that we are hungry. Then Krishna asked the gopas, all of you should go to the brahmanas who are doing some sacrifices nearby and tell Balramji's name, and later you may tell my name also, and ask for some food. And all these brahmanas, they ignored these gopa boys when they came to beg food. They did not even acknowledge their presence. They did not say yes or no. They did not respond only. Although all the gopas spoke very nicely to the brahmanas with full knowledge, then they came back. We did not get any food from the brahmanas. Then Krishna told them, you should go to brahmana patnis, their wives. They will definitely give you. As per Krishna's suggestion, all the gopas went to brahmana patnis and asked for food. And just like rivers flow towards the sea, very naturally, all these ladies, brahmana patnis, they came to Krishna, although some of their family members were stopping them, holding them back. Still, they did not listen. They just picked up whatever prasad they have in hand and they came. Then, when they came, the nice description is given, Krishna's, how Krishna is looking. Shyamam hiranya paridhim vanamalya barha dhatu pravala natavesha manuvratamse. Krishna's complexion is shyama, bluish. Hiranya paridhim, he is wearing a golden garment. Vanamalya barha, wearing a forest flower garland and barha, peacock feather. Dhatu pravala natavesha manuvratamse. He is also adorned with colored minerals and flower birds. Pravala natavesham, he is looking like a dramatic dancer. And he is also putting his hand on the shoulder of one of his friends. Vinyasta hasta mitarena dhunanam abjam. One hand he puts on the shoulder of his friend, and with other hand he just plays with a lotus flower. Karnot palalaka kapola mukhabjahasam. So lilies graced his ears, his hair hung down his cheeks. Right? There is no short haircut for him. Right? Either people shave or put long hairs, but there's nothing medium. So Krishna has very long hairs. So his hairs hung down over his cheeks and his lotus-like face was smiling. So like that there are nice verses that are describing Krishna's attire and his meeting with all the Brahmana Patnis. And understanding that they have come only to see him, Krishna welcomed them. He said, what can I do for you? So all the Brahmana Patnis said, we have given up our family relationships and we have come to stay here just like Vanadevatas. Right? We can stay in the forest only. We don't have to go back again. We are just desirous of your grace. Then Krishna said that it is not proper for you to just leave your family and come here. You should go back. And I assure you that your family members will accept you back. Right? I'll inspire them. I know what to do. So you should go back. Then all the Brahmana Patnis, they listened to this and they went back. And Shravanat, Darshanat, Dhyanat, Mai Bhavonu Kirtanat, Na Tatha Sannikarshena, Pratiyata Tato Grihan. So it's not by physical proximity one can be close to Krishna. It is by hearing about him, Shravanat, Darshanat, seeing his deity form, Dhyanat, by meditating upon him. Mai Bhavonu Kirtanat, by chanting the holy names of Krishna. So all this, by all this love for Krishna develops. Not necessarily by physical proximity only. So that's how Krishna told them and sent them back. But this kind of instructions are not suitable for the gopis. Gopis are on a different level. They cannot take this argument from Krishna. They say that, no, we need physical proximity. We are beyond the stage of Shravana, Darshana, Dhyanat. How long we will do like that? We are already feeling separation from you within one eye blink. And you are asking that you be in separation and then do Shravana, Darshana, Dhyana, that will be sufficient. Then you can be with me. There is no need of physical proximity. That kind of argument gopis cannot accept. But Brahmana Patnis, they accepted. So after that episode, once Nanda Maharaj was preparing for Indra Puja, annual Indra Puja. Krishna, small Krishna, hardly 7 years old boy, he went and asked Nanda Maharaj, my dear father, what is this endeavor for? By doing all these arrangements, what are you trying to achieve? So, then Nanda Maharaj explained, and also Krishna said, you should not hide anything from your close relatives and friends and family members. You should not discriminate like that. So Nanda Maharaj replied that, actually rains are given by Indra and we offer him this puja so that he will give us rains on time so that we can grow our crops and get nourished. Then Krishna speaks a philosophy called Karma Mimamsa philosophy where he says that everyone has to do his duty. You are doing your duty. Indra's duty is to send rain. For sending rain, why you have to bribe Indra? So in that sense, Krishna spoke some philosophy which should not be literally taken or accepted. And he spoke something which he himself is not convinced. And whom he is speaking to? All the Vrajavasis. And Vrajavasis also did not completely understand logically what exactly Krishna is trying to say. All they understood is Krishna wants Govardhan Puja instead of Indra Puja. If that pleases Krishna, we will do it. Simple. They are on a higher platform. Sam Siddhir Aritoshanam. We don't have to logically analyze and understand why we have to do what we have to do. If we can understand one thing, that is sufficient. What is that? Does it please Krishna or not? Yes, this pleases Krishna. If you do Govardhan Puja, that pleases Krishna. All the rest is a detail which we are not interested in. So Gopas, all the Gopas agreed that, okay, we will do Govardhan Puja. If that pleases you, done. Then Krishna recommended how to do Govardhan Puja. So he said, we all live in forest and hills. All the different grasses and other minerals and waterfalls and so many things that Govardhan is giving us. Paniya suyavasakandara kandamulaihi. All these are coming from Govardhan. So let us worship Govardhan. And how you have to worship Govardhan? Brahmana should come and do sacrifices. And you should feed them nicely, you should give them charity. and you should give food to everyone, including dogs and dog eaters also. And we all should do Govardhan Parikrama. So like that, Krishna gave them the master plan and also led them to do it, Govardhan Puja. And Krishna himself, in the form of Govardhan, accepted all the offerings that are given to him by the Vrajavasis, and after that he manifested all of them back also. Same thing happens in Madhavendra Puri's episode in the 4th chapter of Madhya Leela. Then later Krishna, then later this fellow Indra becomes very angry. Indra says all these Vrajavasis, these cowherd men, they became so proud and they surrendered to an ordinary talkative boy who is Balisha, who is too talkative. They are giving more importance to him than me. They neglected my puja. So I will show him. I will remove their pride now. And he summoned this Samvartaka clouds, and the clouds came and profusely rained in Vrindavan, and these clouds are known for universal devastation. So Indra employed such clouds. So Krishna, all the Vrajavasis became very perturbed, and Sukadeva Goswami very elaborately describes the effect of this rain in Vrindavan. Apparently they are affected, but all these so-called misery, Adi Daivika misery or Adi Bhautika misery, and apparent Adhyatmika misery, physically getting tormented or mentally getting tormented, all these are just externals. They seem like threefold miseries that are being experienced by Vrajavasis in Vrindavan, but all of them just act as Uddipan for their love and affection towards Krishna. In the midst of all this, their longing for Krishna, their affection for Krishna, and their dependence on Krishna is intensified. They all fervently go towards Krishna and take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna says, I have taken a vow to protect those who are surrendered to me. I will immediately give shelter to all these devotees. He just immediately went there and lifted Govardhan Hill with his just one single hand and kept it on his finger, with left hand. So he called all the Vrajavasis under that hill. Then Vrajavasis came in, and there were very wonderful sweet exchanges between the Vrajavasis and Krishna for 7 days and 7 nights. And Krishna is reciprocating with the gopis and the gopas, and those gopis and gopas who are in Vatsalya Rasa, Sakhya Rasa, Madhurya Rasa. And with every single Vrajavasi, Krishna is having such a wonderful time. And meanwhile, Yashodamayi comes and then has a conversation with Krishna. Why are you so naughty? Why did you stop Indra Puja? Now Indra became angry. Why we are unnecessarily getting like this? And she didn't mean all that. She was only concerned that Krishna had to do this hard work of holding this Giriraj. Then Krishna says, no, my dear mother, I am not holding it at all. Giriraj has become so light. I am just touching it there, but Giriraj is floating. You see, it's not at all heavy at all. Then Madhumangal says, actually it's like standing there in the air because of my mantras, right? He claims credit for it. And Yashodamayi says, you have not taken any food, you should take some food, and she will cook there and then feed. So like that, there are wonderful exchanges as described, especially in Gopal Champu. So, and at one point Madhumangal says, my dear Krishna, don't start playing flute. If you play flute, the hard objects will melt, and the liquid substances will become hard. Right? The flowing river can stand still, and the immovable rocks can start melting. So now if you start playing flute, and don't look at Radharani's eyes. If you look at her, then you will go into ecstasy and then the Giriraj may fall on us. Second, if you start playing flute, Giriraj will melt and he may fall on us. So please, you should not do all that. So like that, there are very wonderful, sweet exchanges. And finally, Indra was tired. Although for 7 days he tried, he could not lift even one blade of grass in Vrindavan. He could not affect at all. So then Krishna, when he saw that this rain settled down, he kept Vrindavan, he kept Govardhan back in its place, and all the Vrajavasis came, especially motherly gopis, they came and then picked up his left hand and they started massaging. Hari, with this hand you held it for 7 days, I'll do some massage. They started massaging and kissing that hand. Then Krishna, along with the cowherd boys, went off that place. And in the next chapter, so many Vrajavasis were so astonished to see Krishna's prowess. And this astonishment and meditation on Krishna's superhuman activities is that acted only as an impetus for them to intensify their prema and not at all reduce their prema. They did not go into Aishwarya mode. They did not go into reverential mode. They were surprised that how can Krishna act like this? And after some time, they went to Nanda Maharaj and questioned him, "Your small boy, he killed Putana, then Sakatasur, Bakasur, Aghasur, all these people. And now, although he is just 7 years old, he lifted it, such a big hill. And he held it for 7 days and seven nights." So all entire summary of overview session of all the chapters that happened, they give. Dhenukasur, Pralambasur, that is along with Balramji. Then Nandamara says, "My dear Gopas, please don't feel bad. Don't reduce your affection towards Krishna, thinking that he is something very great. Because Gargamuni came and predicted that Narayana Samo Gunaihi, Krishna will have qualities equivalent to Narayana. By the empowerment, by the strength, or by the blessings of Narayana, Krishna is able to do all these things. Otherwise, he is our own small boy, small child. So thinking that he is something great, you should not withdraw your affection." Then these Gopas say that, "Yeah, we never wanted to withdraw our affection, because if you don't show affection, we feel bad. And if you don't show our affection towards Krishna, Krishna will feel bad. So we are very spontaneously inspired to be affectionate towards him, but at the same time we are little surprised also." But this surprise did not compromise on their affection. And later the Gopas noticed one point that Nanda Maharaj said. What was it? Nanda Maharaj said that Gargamuni came and predicted Krishna's qualities during his naming ceremony. Then Gopa said, "You never told us that Gargamuni came to your house. What's happening? You are keeping something confidential. You are not trusting us." And there was a big dispute, loving dispute amongst them. Then they went to Vrishabhanu also, and there's a big, this is called Gopa Vivada, as titled in Garga Samhita. This chapter is called Gopa Vivada. So after that episode, once Krishna went, this whole Govardhan episode is over.
Water.
So Indra went to offer his prayers, and Krishna actually went to Govardhan just to give a private audience to Krishna, right? A private audience to Indra. Indra had sent this rains and other things to destroy Vrindavan, and Krishna just protected the Vrajavasis from whatever Indra had sent. But Indra was not actually punished for what he has done. Indra was expecting punishment. So Indra came to Krishna, and he could not face Krishna, so he came to Krishna along with Surabhi. So Surabhi went and recommended Indra. "Indra is now feeling guilty, you should do something there, you should show his mercy, show your mercy." So we can only approach Krishna through his devotees. So when Surabhi recommended Indra, Krishna became little affectionate towards, or merciful towards Indra. And Indra came and offered nice prayers. They are like very comprehensive prayers. విశుద్ధసత్వం తవ ధామ శాంతం తపోమయం ధ్వస్తరజస్తమస్కం మాయామయోయం గుణసంప్రవాహో న విద్యతే తే గ్రహణానుబంధ. వెరీ ఎలాబొరేట్ వర్స్. సో లైక్ దట్ హీ ఆఫర్డ్ వేరియస్ ప్రేయర్స్. అపరెంట్లీ హీఈస్ ఫీలింగ్ గిల్టీ, బట్ ఇంటర్నల్లీ హీ వాజ్ ఓన్లీ ఫియర్ఫుల్ దట్ కృష్ణ మైట్ పనిష్ మీ, హీ మే కాల్ యమరాజ్ అండ్ పనిష్ మీ, లైక్ దట్ హీ వాజ్ థింకింగ్. సో హీస్ ప్రేయర్స్ వర్ నాట్ కంప్లీట్లీ జెన్యూన్. డెఫినెట్లీ దెర్ ఇస్ సమ్ గిల్ట్, బట్ దే వర్ నాట్ కంప్లీట్లీ జెన్యూన్, బికాస్ లేటర్ ఆల్సో ఇన్ దట్ ఎపిసోడ్ ఆఫ్ పారిజాత అగైన్ ఇంద్ర గెట్స్ ఇంటు ఏ ఫైట్ విత్ కృష్ణ. సో కృష్ణ రిప్లైడ్ టు ఇంద్ర, మై డియర్ ఇంద్ర, యు ఆర్ సో ఇంటాక్సికేటెడ్ బై యువర్ మెటీరియల్ వెల్త్, యువర్ ఆపులెన్స్. సో అవుట్ ఆఫ్ మై మెర్సీ ఐ స్టాప్ యువర్ సాక్రిఫైస్. ఎ పర్సన్ బ్లైండెడ్ బై పవర్ కెనాట్ సీ మీ ప్రెజెంట్ నియర్ హిమ్ యాజ్ అ పనిషర్. సో ఐ హ్యావ్ టు ఫోర్స్ఫుల్లీ బ్రింగ్ హిమ్ టు హిస్ సెన్సెస్ బై పనిషింగ్ హిమ్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఐ హ్యావ్ డన్. దెన్ లేటర్ సురభి ఎక్స్ప్రెసెస్ హిస్ హర్ గ్రాటిట్యూడ్ టువర్డ్స్ కృష్ణ అండ్ షీ సేస్ యూ ఆర్ ది ఒరిజినల్ ఇంద్ర, రైట్? అండ్ దెన్ ఇన్ దిస్ కంటెక్స్ట్ కృష్ణ వాజ్ ఆఫర్డ్ దిస్ నేమ్ గోవింద అండ్ దెర్ వాజ్ అ బిగ్ అభిషేక్. ఆనంద వృందావన్ చెంపు వెరీ ఎలాబొరేట్లీ డిస్క్రైబ్స్ హౌ కృష్ణ వాజ్ పెర్ఫార్మ్డ్ దట్ అభిషేక్. సో వాట్ ఆల్ ఇంగ్రీడియంట్స్ వర్ యూజ్డ్ టు పెర్ఫార్మ్ అభిషేక్ సెరమనీ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ, వే హౌ దట్ గోవింద కుండ్ ఇస్ ఫార్మ్డ్, అండ్ ఆల్సో హౌ ది డిఫరెంట్ పర్సనాలిటీస్ కేమ్ అండ్ ఆఫర్డ్ సో మెనీ థింగ్స్ టు కృష్ణ, గిఫ్ట్స్ డ్యూరింగ్ దిస్ అభిషేక్ సెరమనీ. సో ఆల్ దట్ వర్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ ఆనంద వృందావన్ చెంపు. లేటర్ ఫర్ ద బెనిఫిట్ ఆఫ్ కౌస్ ద బ్రాహ్మణస్ అండ్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్ అండ్ ఆల్ ది సెయింట్లీ పర్సన్స్ ప్లీజ్ బికమ్ అవర్ ఇంద్ర, షీ సేస్. అండ్ ద బేదింగ్ సెరమనీ వాజ్ పెర్ఫార్మ్డ్ అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ ఆల్ ది కౌహెడ్ బాయ్స్ దే నోటిస్డ్ సమ్ పీపుల్ వర్ కమింగ్ అండ్ వర్షిపింగ్ కృష్ణ అండ్ దే ఆర్ ఆఫరింగ్ ప్రేయర్స్ అండ్ దే ఆర్ డూయింగ్ ఆర్తి పూజ వగేర వగేర. సో ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ ద గోపాస్ ఆల్సో స్టార్టెడ్ వర్షిపింగ్ సమ్ ఇమిటేషన్ వర్షిప్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ ఇన్ దేర్ ఓన్ చైల్డిష్ వే. అండ్ కృష్ణ రిలిష్డ్ దిస్ వర్షిప్ మోర్ దెన్ ద వర్షిప్ ఆఫ్ ద డెమి గాడ్స్. దట్స్ మోర్ గ్రేవ్ అండ్ మోర్ సొఫిస్టికేటెడ్ బట్ ఈస్ మోర్ ఇన్నసెంట్ అండ్ సింపుల్ అండ్ లవింగ్, రైట్? సో ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ ఎపిసోడ్ నంద మహారాజ్ వన్స్ అనే ద్వాదశి డే హీ టుక్ బాత్ ఇన్ యమున ఎర్లీ ఇన్ ద మార్నింగ్. సో దాట్స్ ఏ స్పెషల్ ద్వాదశి వేర్ ది టైమింగ్ వాజ్ లిటిల్ ఎర్లియర్ దాన్ అదర్ ద్వాదశీస్ అండ్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ద రెగ్యులర్ పంచాంగ ఆర్ వేదిక్ ఆస్ట్రాలజికల్ క్యాలిక్యులేషన్స్ ద టైమ్ ఎట్ విచ్ నంద మహారాజ్ టుక్ బాత్ వాజ్ ప్రాపర్ ఓన్లీ. బట్ వన్ అసిస్టెంట్ ఆర్ సర్వెంట్ ఆఫ్ వరుణ హూ డిడ్ నాట్ నో ద టెక్నికల్ డీటెయిల్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఆస్ట్రాలజీ అండ్ ముహూర్త, హీ సెడ్ దట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ద రైట్ టైమ్. సమ్టైమ్స్ పేరెంట్ టైమ్ కమ్స్ లిటిల్ ఎర్లీ, రైట్? సమ్టైమ్స్ పేరెంట్ టైమ్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ విత్ ఇన్ 5 minutes యూ హ్యావ్ టు బ్రేక్, రైట్? యు ఆర్ ఇన్ ద ఆల్టర్ డ్రెస్సింగ్, 6:55 తక్ పేరెంట్ టైమ్ ఖతం అయ్యాగా యూ హ్యావ్ టు జస్ట్ వైండ్ అప్ సంథింగ్ అండ్ దెన్ గో, రైట్? సో దేర్ ఆర్ సమ్ స్పెషల్ ఒకేషన్స్ ద టెక్నికల్ డీటెయిల్స్ దిస్ వరుణ అసిస్టెంట్ కుడ్ నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్. జనరల్లీ పేరెంట్ టైమ్ ఇస్ బిట్వీన్ 6 to 10, ఇస్ లైక్ వెరీ హ్యూజ్ పీరియడ్, సమ్టైమ్స్ ఇట్స్ టు ఎర్లీ ఆల్సో. దిస్ నాట్ అబౌట్ పేరెంట్ టైమ్, ఇట్స్ హౌ వెన్ యూ కెన్ టేక్ బాత్ ఎర్లీ ఇన్ ద మార్నింగ్ ఇన్ రివర్స్. సో హీ అరెస్టెడ్ నంద మహారాజ్ అండ్ బ్రాట్ హిమ్ టు వరుణ ఎబోర్డ్, వరుణాస్ ఎబోర్డ్. వరుణ సారీ, దిస్ నంద మహారాజ్, కృష్ణస్ ఫాదర్, మై గాడ్, వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపన్ టు మీ? సో హీ బికేమ్ రియల్లీ ఫియర్ఫుల్, వరుణ, బికాస్ రీసెంట్లీ అనదర్ డెమి గాడ్ ఇంద్ర, ద డెమి గాడ్ ఆఫ్ రెయిన్స్, హీ వాజ్ థరోలీ హ్యూమిలియేటెడ్ బై కృష్ణ. నౌ ద డెమి గాడ్ ఆఫ్ వాటర్స్, వాటర్ బాడీస్, వరుణ, హీఈస్ ప్రిపేరింగ్, కృష్ణ విల్ డూ సంథింగ్ టు మీ, హీ విల్ పనిష్ మీ. సో హీ గేవ్ నంద మహారాజ్ ఏ వండర్ఫుల్ సీట్. హీ సెడ్ ప్లీజ్ స్టే హియర్ వెరీ సేఫ్లీ, సో యువర్ సన్ మైట్ బి కమింగ్ ఆల్రెడీ, హీ మస్ట్ బి ఆల్రెడీ ఆన్ ద వే. సో ఐ నో, ఐ కెన్ ప్రిడిక్ట్. సో హీ వాజ్ జస్ట్ గోయింగ్ బ్యాక్ అండ్ ఫోర్త్ ఫ్రమ్ నంద మహారాజ్ సింహాసన్ టు హిస్ gate, main gate. He was just going back and forth. He told some of his assistants, keep the arati paraphernalia ready. Krishna might come at any time. As soon as he comes, we'll do arati and then give him worship so that he didn't become angry on us. So true to his expectation, Krishna comes. Krishna comes along with Balramji. Because on the banks of Yamuna, all the other gopas, they were very much worried about Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj droned in Yamuna like that. So Krishna knows whether it is just droning. Now if someone drones in a river, we can't go to Varuna and then ask him what's happening. Right? If someone dies, we cannot go to Yamaraj and ask him, where is he? But Krishna can do all that. He is Krishna. He can go to Varuna, he can go to Yamalok also and ask him, give my guru's son back. Then Yamaraj has to give him. Right? So, this is Krishna. So, Krishna comes along with Balramji. Then Varuna offers him prayers and he says, my life is successful because you have come to my abode. I am very happy. Actually, I didn't mean to kidnap your father. It just happened by mistake of my assistant. So now you take your father back. Then Krishna goes up on the banks of Yamuna. This is called Brahma Harda. There is Akrura Ghat and this Ghat are both are same. So when Krishna came out, Nanda Maharaj told the other gopas what all has happened in Varuna's abode. All the other gopas, cowherd men, they started thinking that, oh, Krishna is like this. Will we get his spiritual abode anytime? Like that they had some doubt. Then Krishna, to clear the doubts, you are my eternal companions. Why are you thinking like this? Then he gave them a vision of spiritual abode, Vaikuntha. And they also thought later that the situation in which we are in is perfectly all right. Having such a loving reciprocation with Krishna, it's nothing less than spiritual world. It is more than spiritual world. Like that, Krishna showed Vaikuntha to Vrajavasis. So after this, after Krishna rescued Nanda Maharaj from the abode of Varuna, another beautiful episode comes, that is Rasapantyadhyay. Krishna plays his flute on the night of Sharat Purnima, October 5th. Whatever was the date, 5000 years back, he was playing flute. And all the gopis, they gave up all their activities, whatever they have been doing, and they immediately ran towards Krishna. It's the night of the autumn. The place was Vrindavan forest and the gopis were there. The stimulus was the moon, Sharat Purnima. The moon is complete, full. So amongst the gopis were Nitya Siddha gopis and Sadhana Siddha gopis. Amongst the Sadhana Siddha gopis were Srutichari gopis and Rishichari gopis. So during Ramavatar, Krishna went to the forests. And in the forest, he has seen so many sages doing a lot of tapasya. So they developed attraction towards Lord Ram and said, we want to, you know, be with you. Then Ram said, I am in a male body, so you can't be associating with me like this. So, but still, because you have desired me, I will certainly fulfill your desire. So all those rishis, they became gopis, following the footsteps of gopis. And Shrutis also, personified Vedas, they also are Sadhana Siddha Gopis who followed the footsteps of Nitya Siddha Gopis. And there were some other Gopis who could not join this Rasalila. They were uniting with Krishna by meditation. And some were in separation from Krishna because they were physically away. So both happened simultaneously, the union and separation. There is separation because they are physically not with Krishna. They are in union because they are meditating on Krishna. So thus they destroyed their sins and piety. And finally they attained Krishna also later. So in this context, just before the episode itself began, Parikshit Maharaj asks this question to Sukadeva Goswami, that how can all these girls dance with Krishna? How can Krishna do like this? Then Sukadeva Goswami gave a simple answer. Different people may think about different things. Just dancing in the middle of the night with someone else's wives is not proper. Certainly it's not proper according to the social customs and all. But such kind of behavior will not affect Krishna. Tejiyasam na doshaya. Definitely if you touch urine or stool, you are contaminated, you should immediately take bath before serving the deities. But that logic you cannot apply in front of sun. Sun can evaporate water from filthy places also and from pure rivers also, but he is never contaminated, he is beyond that contamination. So after all, everybody is a part and parcel of Krishna, everybody is energy of Krishna. If the energetic is having an association with energy, what's the problem? Right? So like that. The eternal relationship is there with Krishna. With every living entity, Krishna has an eternal relationship. So in that relationship, he can dance or anything. So there being wives of someone or husbands of someone or brothers or sisters or daughter-in-laws of someone else is all an external temporary designation that manifested during their tenure in this material world only. Otherwise, everyone is connected with Krishna as his energy, as his part and parcel, as his servant, as his lover, as his friend, in whatever ways. So, then when gopis came to Krishna, Krishna welcomed the gopis and told them, "Oh, welcome, you have come here, wonderful. But why did you come here? It is not the right time to come. It is not proper for you. You are all women and you should not be in this middle of the forest, in the middle of the night." And he started giving so many moral instructions and karma yoga to the gopis. So gopis says, "We will not go back. You are asking us to go back." And there is a lot of discussion about the religious duties of a chaste lady, etc., etc. And again, the Shravana, Darshana, Dhyana, Mai Bhavanu, Kirtana, whatever Krishna spoke to the Brahmana Patanis, that was spoken here also. But gopis did not listen to this. So, gopis started crying also. And their whole body showed signs of great unhappiness and anxiety. So, the gopis said, "Do not speak cruelly, don't reject us. Reciprocate with us as Narayana reciprocates with his devotees." So, like that, there was a long conversation that happened between the gopis and Krishna. And Krishna started dancing with them. And gopis became slightly proud of getting this privileged opportunity to be in such intimate association of Krishna. Then seeing that they were some pride of their good fortune, of their spiritual good fortune, Krishna wanted to relieve them of that pride, so he immediately disappeared. So even in the midst of Rasa Leela, even the topmost devotees also, if they exhibit slight pride, Krishna cannot appreciate it. He just went away. Then all the gopis, they became so mad in separation from Krishna. So they were completely in absorption, right? They were absorbed in Krishna. They were manifesting symptoms of unmada or madness. So they were partially conscious, okay, to the external activities, and in later stages they became little external conscious also and acted as gopis, devotees. So they started searching for Krishna from one forest to the another forest. In the middle of the night they were just going here and there to search Krishna. When Krishna left the assembly, the gopis felt very sorry. And they all started depicting Krishna's pastimes, enacting Krishna's pastimes. So they started asking all the trees and whatever they see, bushes, flowers, and river, so like that, doe. They started asking all these people, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" Then later they enacted pastimes also. And gopis then saw the footprints of Krishna and they started following the footprints of Krishna. And they noticed that along with Krishna, there is another gopi. She must have worshipped Krishna so wonderfully. That's why Krishna gave her special attention. Anaya Radhito Anunam. So it is Srimati Radharani. That particular gopi must have pleased Krishna so much. That's why she got the special attention. Then gopis came back to the Yamuna bank and started singing this gopi Gita. And there are wonderful verses there. Jayati Tedhikam Janmana Vraja Shreyata Indira Shashvadatrahi Dayita Drishyatam Dikshuta Vakaha Tvaidrita Savaha Tvam Vichinvati. So Vrindavan is glorious because of your birth. And like that, entire Gopi Gita is filled with so many such expressions by the gopis. What is that verse? Tvaye patisutanvayat bhratrubandhavat ativilanghyate achyutagatah. So like that, they tavakathamritam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham. So they praised Krishna and they ridiculed Krishna. They, in various ways, they were expressing their feelings of separation from Krishna. That is Gopi Gita. After that, Krishna came back. That's the reunion. And after reuniting with them, he started having such intimate exchanges with all the devotees, all the gopis. So we will not go into all these details. And there was a nice conversation also. Gopis asked, my dear Krishna, generally there are different categories of people who can reciprocate. So what are they? Some people are selfishly motivated. Right? They will reciprocate with people only for their selfish agenda. And some other people are selfless. They are unmotivated. Just like parents are there. Even if the children do not reciprocate or serve the parents, still the parents are affectionate towards them. So first category is they reciprocate only if the other person shows some inclination to serve you or assist you. And the second category is selflessly showing. And there is third category, that is totally indifferent. They don't reciprocate with anyone. So they are thoroughly selfish or they are self-satisfied. They are beyond this scope of reciprocating with anyone. So Krishna said that I am not belonging to any of these three categories. I don't reciprocate with people according to how they approach me. Ethama prapadyante. Second, I don't reciprocate with people who are, even if they are indifferent to me. Third, I am not just indifferent to anyone. No, I am not belonging to any of these three categories. I just withdraw my reciprocation from people to increase their longing for me, to increase their love for me. Right? That's how I will reciprocate. So by being absent in front of them, their love for me will increase. So I belong to that fourth category. So Krishna is very clever. Very cleverly he presented that argument. And there is rasa dance with all intimate exchanges between the gopis and Krishna. That is the essence of rasa pantyadhyay. So after this, Nanda Maharaj, another episode where Nanda Maharaj and the other gopas, they go to Ambikavan to worship Lord Shiva on Shivaratri day. At that time, one snake came and started swallowing Nanda Maharaj. That snake is actually a demigod named Sudarshan in his previous life. So Nanda Maharaj was calling out for help. Then immediately Krishna came and Krishna touched the snake with his foot and the demigod came back to his original form and started narrating his Vidyadhara. Named Sudarshana. He narrated how he just ridiculed or insulted or offended Angira Muni, and Angira Muni cursed him to become a snake. But the curse was beneficial because I got your darshan. Then, actually Krishna knows all this, but he requests Sudarshan to reveal his previous situation. Who are you? You are such an effulgent Gandharva. Why are you staying in this kind of abominable snake body? So I want to know about your history. Like that Krishna asked him. So why Krishna asked him like that? Because Sudarshan could narrate what had happened in his previous life and how offending Brahmanas will cause havoc in one's life, in one's next life also. So just to make everyone who assembled at Ambikavan to understand the gravity of offending a Brahmana, Krishna made Sudarshan speak like this. Then Sudarshan circumambulated Krishna and he departed. And Vaidyavasis were very much astonished. And another episode, this is Holi, on a holy day. Krishna and Balaram were sitting there and so many gopis assembled there, and gopis started singing and Krishna also started singing and they started dancing. Like that they were enjoying nicely. And one demon named Shankachuda, he is a servant of Kuvera, so he came there and he started seeing this gopis and then felt that how can these two young boys, village boys, have the association of so many such nice girls? I need them. So like that he went, took a stick and started chasing them, moving them as if they were cattle. So all the gopis were little fearful. Then Krishna said, you take care of the gopis. Krishna told Balaramji, you take care of the gopis, I will take care of this fellow. So Krishna ran behind Shankachuda and killed him and took that money and gave it to Balaramji. Because if he gives to any of the gopis, other gopis will complain, you didn't give me, there will be a fight. So Krishna gave it to Balaramji. And what did Balaramji do? Later he gave it to Radharani. And acharyas say that is Samantakamani also. Okay. So, the later, another episode, 35th verse, 35th chapter, this episode comes, that is Viraha Gita. No, sorry, this is Yugala Gita. Yugala Gita is also another a song sung by the gopis, which is similar to Venu Gita. So in the absence of Krishna, all the gopis were remembering his activities. And Venu Gita was sung by those gopis who are in conjugal rasa. But this is, some of the verses are spoken by those gopis who are in Vatsalya also. Right? There was a discussion between the gopis about Krishna's activities in Vrindavan. So this also is very wonderful, how Krishna's various attributes attract the animals and birds and trees and rivers of Vrindavan. That is the theme of this entire thing. Even Yashodamayi also is involved in this episode. So after this, Sukadeva Goswami narrates another episode called Arishtasur, killing of Arishtasur. So Arishtasur came to Vrindavan. So it is like a bull. Its hump is almost touching the sky. So it's so huge. By making such tumultuous sound, it caused terror in the hearts of cows. And some cows had miscarriages. And it started terrorizing all the Vrajavasis. So Krishna became very much concerned. And then he came in front of this Arishtasur and just threw it down as if someone just takes a cloth, kapda dhote na, so like that he just killed Arishtasur, just broke its the horns. So Arishtasur collapsed, and all the past lives are also there, you can refer later. So Narada Muni
Now he enters
the scene. So far he is not very much there in these chapters. Suddenly Narada Muni feels that Krishna has spent enough time in Vrindavan. Now he is supposed to give more time in Mathura. So Mathura, there are so many devotees. So those devotees should also get some association of Krishna, mercy of Krishna. So he went to Kamsa and revealed the whole secret. You know, who is the seventh child of Devaki? I don't know, it was a miscarriage, I thought. No, it is Balramji. Do you know who is the eighth child of Devaki? I have been searching since more than 10-11 years. I don't know who is that. Then Narada Muni said, it is Krishna. And he, Krishna, is being raised as the son of Nanda and Yashoda very secretly without your knowledge. You have been thoroughly cheated. You are a foolish fellow. Then Kamsa said, hey, is it like that? I never knew this. Then immediately I will kill these two, Vasudeva and Devaki. He just picked up his sword. And Krishna, Narada Muni said, you cannot kill Vasudeva and Devaki. Because if you kill them, their children Krishna and Balram will run away. So there is no use in killing them only. And on top of it, there is harm for you. You may miss your enemy. So you can at the max arrest them. So Kamsa arrested Vasudeva and Devaki, and he made a big plan. He called Akrura and told him the plan also. First he said, he called Keshi and Vyoma and dispatched them. You should go and kill Krishna immediately in Vrindavan only, without him coming here. So I don't want to take his darshan. I am not so eager for it. I just want to hear the news of his death. You should go and kill. But if you miss, then I will have another plan ready. And what is that plan? That he reveals to our Akrura. He says that you can go to Vrindavan and bring Krishna and Balram here. I am organizing a big festival, a bow festival, that is called Dhanuryaga. We will conduct sacrifice, we will worship this bow, Shiva's bow, and we will hold competitions, and we will organize wrestling match, we will do puja, this and that we will do. So you should bring. And my plan is, once you bring them here, I will have them killed by my Kuvalaya Pida, elephant. And if that Kuvalaya Pida misses to kill them, then I will have my wrestlers. They are Shala, Toshala, Kota, Chanura, Mushtika. They will kill. And if they also miss, I am there to kill him. So this is my plan. So what is your role in my plan? You should go and bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura from Vrindavan, making them my guests, my special guests. And also call Nanda Maharaj and other people also. Ask them to bring their gifts and presentations and taxes, etc., etc. Then Akrura understood this and then gave a warning, and settled warning and his disapproval to Kamsa's plans. But anyways, you are a king and I am a minister. I am supposed to follow your instructions. I am obliged. So I will do the needful. But everything is in the will of providence. You may plan, but it's not necessary that your plans will be fulfilled. So saying that, Akrura went, and Kamsa showed Akrura a new chariot, brand new chariot. He said, he was thinking that Akrura would be very excited to ride this new chariot, but Akrura is actually excited to see the new chariot, because Krishna and Balram deserve a new chariot and not the chariot that is used by Kamsa. So meanwhile, this Keshi demon came to Vrindavan in the form of a horse and started charging against Krishna. And Krishna killed it very effortlessly by putting his hand inside the mouth of Keshi, and that became red hot iron. Krishna's hand is butter soft and cool, but it became so hot in the mouth of Keshi that Keshi died. So after this, the fight also was described little more elaborately. Then Narada Muni meets Krishna and says that, you know what, I already revealed the news to Kamsa. Kamsa came to know that you are the eighth child of Devaki. I did this because I had to do. All the Vrajavasis were waiting. All the Mathuravasis were waiting. You were absorbed in all your Vrindavan Leelas. So you should come to Mathura also, give them your association. And he offered so many prayers. And he also said, he also summarized all the future pastimes of Krishna that he is going to perform. I can see just within a couple of days he will kill Kamsa and all his wrestlers and brothers. And later he will defeat Indra in that Parijata episode. He will marry 16,100 queens. And also he will bring back the dead son of Sandipani Muni. And like that he predicts all his future pastimes that he is going to do in Mathura and Dwaraka. And Narada Muni further glorifies Krishna. We have discussed all this very elaborately in our regular classes. And finally Krishna agrees to the plan of Narada Muni, because that is his plan also. Then, after Narada Muni's departure, this another demon named Vyomasur comes to Krishna. Krishna and all the gopas were playing this game, sheep game. Some boys were acting like sheep, some boys were like police, some boys were thieves. So this Vyomasura disguised himself as a boy, as a cowherd boy, and he started stealing all the other sheep, all the other boys who were acting like sheep. And only few boys, four or five boys were left out. So he started hiding them in a cave. Then Krishna noticed, then Krishna killed Vyomasur and went and broke the boulder which is blocking the cave's entrance and released all the boys. And he came back to Vrindavan. So meanwhile, Akrura was traveling from Mathura to Vrindavan. On his way to Vrindavan, Akrura had such wonderful deep meditation on Krishna and his glories and his own good fortune. He said that, how fortunate am I? I am having this great opportunity to see Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. I shall see his beautiful face. And yasya akhilami va habissumangalehi vacho vimishra guna karma janma bhi prananti shumbhanti punanti vaijagat yastad viraktaha shavashobhanamati. So all the akhila amiva habi sumangalehi, all the inauspiciousness in one's life will be vanished if one takes shelter of Krishna. If one hears Krishna Katha, and Krishna Katha animates and beautifies and nourishes this entire world. Prananti means animates. Shumbhanti means beautifies. Punanti means purifies. Purifies this entire world. And I have absolutely no qualifications to go to Vrindavan and see Krishna and Balaram. But my only qualification, although I don't have any qualifications, Krishna's mercy is more powerful than my disqualifications. So, just like a person who is drowning in the river or an ocean may sometimes by chance come to the shore, or just like someone who is low born, who is not qualified to recite Vedas, may sometimes get an opportunity to even conduct sacrifices and recite Vedic mantras. Similarly, out of causeless mercy of the Lord, I am able to see Krishna today. And Kamsa has done a great favor upon me by sending me here. He started expressing his gratitude slightly to Kamsa. And later he started meditating. Now I will go to Vrindavan. I will meet Krishna and Balaram. I offer obeisances to him. He will touch me with his hand. He will lift me up. He will embrace me. So like that, in various ways, he started meditating on every small detail. Then they will take me, we will have loving exchanges. So all these things he remembers. And he visualizes the Lord welcoming him and doing many other things. And slowly, by the evening time, he reaches Vrindavan. When he reached Vrindavan, he saw Krishna's footprints. And as soon as Akrura saw the footprints of Krishna, he just came down from his chariot and he fell on the ground and manifesting such ecstatic symptoms upon seeing those footprints, and he started rolling in the dust of Vrindavan. And he said, Dehabhratamayanartho hitva dambham bhiyam sucham sandeshadyo harer linga darshana shravanadibhi. For all the embodied beings, this is the goal of life. They have to put aside pride, lamentation and fear, and they should be able to absorb themselves in seeing, hearing and describing Krishna. Right? To be able to see the lotus footprints in the land of Vrindavan is such a great fortune. So Akrura did not take anything for granted. And he also glorified the transcendental beauty and qualities of Krishna and Balaram. And as soon as Akrura came in front of Krishna and Balaram, their attire, how they were looking like, that is also described nicely. And Akrura offers obeisances to Krishna and Balaram, and Krishna embraced Akrura. And Nanda Maharaj also received Akrura very nicely and asked him, how is this fellow Kamsa? How are you doing there? But there is no need to ask about your welfare, because it is sure that he will suffer only in the presence of such a cruel personality like Kamsa. Like that, in various ways there was exchange of pleasantries, and honored by Nanda Maharaj with these words, Akrura forgot all the fatigue of his travel. And during that night there was a long discussion between Krishna and Akrura, as Balaramji was witnessing the whole thing in a very confidential, solitary room. So Akrura revealed what all had happened between Kamsa and Narada Muni. Narada Muni revealed that you both are the sons of Vasudev, and Krishna is the eighth child of Devaki, who is supposed to kill Kamsa, and Kamsa is planning to kill you by calling you for the sacrifice. So like that he revealed the whole thing, and you need to come, and I am sure you will not be affected. Kamsa cannot kill you, but you need to come to Mathura just to relieve your parents from their anxiety. In our regular class, from various references, Garga Samhita and Harivamsha, etc., we very elaborately discussed all this conversation between Kamsa and Akrura and Krishna and Balaram. And also Kamsa admonishes Vasudev in front of a huge assembly. He insults him, and he also ridicules all the other people like of the Andhaka, Bhoja, Vrishni dynasties. My life is at threat. You people are all shameless. You are not doing anything to protect me. Right, I am alone. Like that, out of frustration, he started speaking in front of so many people and insulted Vasudev. And Andhaka also admonished Kamsa. So like that. And Akrura narrated all these things, and especially he spoke about the piteous condition of Devaki and Vasudev. They were constantly remembering you only. Without you, they are living just a life which is devoid of even a slight trace of happiness. Every now and then Kamsa would come and chastise them, or he can arrest them, he can ridicule them, he can abuse them. So they are living such a horrible life, you should come and relieve them of this pain, like that Akrura says. And at heart Krishna is pained, and he also said that I am so absorbed in my loving and affectionate dealings with all the Vrajavasis that I neglected my parents in Mathura. I will come now. Like that, there was a decision made. Later Krishna comes out of the room and explains to Nanda Maharaj and the other Gopas that Kamsa is planning for a Dhanuryaga, and he invited all the Vrajavasis and especially Krishna and Balaram, and he proposes that all of us will go there. Then Nanda Maharaj already sensed it. Oh, we need to go. he is not very much favorable for this. So Nanda Maharaj, but as a dutiful king of that village, he called all the big people, big managers or whatever, for a meeting and presented this proposal, because it's a duty. The king had sent his representative minister Akrura with a message that this village people should come to Mathura with whatever presentations and attend this Dhanuryaga. It's an order. It comes like a request, but actually it's an order when it comes from the king. It's official. So it's not that comes a request, it may be presented so, but comes an order. If you don't come, you have to face his wrath. That's the message there. So in the meeting it was decided that Krishna and Balaram, they can go because they'll come back after killing Kamsa. And all of them were confident after seeing Krishna and Balaram killing so many demons that even if Kamsa had any nefarious plan to attack Krishna or do something harmful to Krishna, Krishna can easily come out of that dangerous situation, and Krishna can kill even Kamsa and his associates also. So that at that level people did not have any doubt. But they were more worried that will Krishna come back immediately? But Krishna said, no, I will come back. I will come back just in few days, right? Parso. I will come in just within 2 days. Day after tomorrow I can come. So then Purnamasi came and she said that if Krishna goes to Mathura, definitely there will be great auspiciousness because he will kill Kamsa. And when such a demoniac person is killed, a big burden on the earth will be vanquished. And definitely there is auspiciousness. But that might delay Krishna's coming back to Vrindavan, like that Purnamasi says. Now you decide, and then she leaves. So finally, as a dutiful king of this village, Nanda Maharaj, and in consultation with other people like Upananda and other people, he decided that, okay, let's go. So next day, there was message passed everywhere. Then gopis also heard this announcement. This message, that's already late in the night, that message went like wildfire, that early in the morning they have to start for Mathura, some people. So gopis also heard this news and they were in great anguish. They gathered together in private and they started discussing how Krishna is not there and what will happen to us and all. Then Krishna expanded himself into as many forms as the number of gopis are and went to each of the gopis and started pacifying them and consoling them. And especially he went to Srimati Radharani, and Radharani said, I cannot live when you are not here. Then Krishna said, no, please don't do that. Don't say like that. It's my responsibility. I have come here, I have descended to reduce the burden of the earth. It's my responsibility to kill the demons and then cause welfare in this world. So you should also cooperate. And I promise you that I will come back. And I will come. And finally Radharani agrees also. There was a very deep and elaborate conversation that we discussed earlier. So it was decided that Krishna will go. Then Bhagavatam's version. All the gopis during that night, they could not contain themselves. They started discussing amongst themselves that why are these elders not stopping Krishna? Why are they allowing Krishna and Balaram to go to Mathura? Because elders and other people, they were thinking that Krishna will go and come back. But Krishna may not come back. Those who are in conjugal rasa, they could understand the mood of Krishna that he may stay there in Mathura only. He will have friendships with other women there, other queens there. They are more sophisticated and we are simple village girls. So we don't know any special arts or other skills, or we are not very sophisticated. Krishna might stay there only. So Krishna will not come back here. Why these people are not understanding? So whole night they were singing this Viraha Gita and the song of separation. We will not go into the details. So essentially they say that, oh providence, you have no mercy, because you bring jivas together and separate them very mercilessly. You are like an immature child. A child also brings toys and then separates them with no reason, for no reason. So you are also doing like that. And you have shown us the beautiful face of Lord Mukunda that eradicates all miseries, and now you are making it invisible. You have come in the form of Akrura. Although this person's name is Akrura, he is actually Krura. He is very cruel. Without even pacifying us, without even consoling us, without even coming to us and giving an explanation why he had to take Krishna away from Vrindavan, he is taking Krishna away. He may not come back. Krishna may not come back. So like that they had some bitter feelings and they spoke bitter words towards Akrura. And they also predicted that all the gopis of Vrindavan have become very unfortunate with Krishna's departure from Vrindavan. But all the ladies of Mathura, they become more fortunate. Sukham prabhata rajaniyam asishaha. Tomorrow morning is a very good morning for all the Mathura ladies, because they will be able to see the beautiful face of Krishna, right? That is showering such affectionate sidelong glances. So they predicted the good fortune of Mathuravasas. And once he has fallen into the spell of their words, he will not come to Vrindavan. Like that they became very anxious. And early in the morning, all the Vrajavasis, all the gopis of Vrindavan, they thought that we waited whole night, nothing has happened. All the elders are not coming forward and then making an attempt to stop Krishna and Balaram. I think we have to go. So all the gopis came in front of the chariot of Krishna. Some people were stopping the horses. Some other gopis were pulling down the chariot driver. Some gopis went and embraced Krishna and embraced Balaram and just caught their hands and caught their legs and then, please, you cannot go from here, like that. They were very piteously crying. Some gopis were just, they were lying on the road. If you want to go, just cross over us and then go. Then Krishna spoke to them. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. They speak that also. Krishna consoled them saying that I will return, don't worry. So, and finally Krishna moved ahead. Then on the way, at Brahmaharda, Akrura stopped the chariot and Krishna and Balaram were sitting in the chariot, and Akrura went to offer his evening oblations or evening or whatever, afternoon oblations. Do his Sandhya Vandan in the river. So he went to river Kalindi, and inside that he saw the Supreme Lord and also Anantasesha he saw, and so many demigods like Brahma, Shiva, Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, and so many such people are offering obeisances to the Lord. And Akrura was pleased with that sight and offered such obeisances and prayers. And the next chapter is filled with the prayers of Akrura. First he spoke on Sambandha, that no one can understand the Lord's true identity. He is the creator of the universe, he is the origin of 24 elements, he is transcendental, even Brahma cannot know him. And then he started speaking about Lord's Virat Rupa and the process of worshipping him. Then he also described about Krishna's eternal forms, his incarnations. So like that, he offered various prayers, and in his prayers there were humility, and then he also revealed that, my dear Lord, materialistic people in this world are in bodily conception of I and mine, and they consider their wife and then children and their home and all the household paraphernalia very valuable and permanent, and I am an example of it. I am a typical example of it. I am also like that. So my intelligence is crippled, my mind is uncontrolled due to material desires. So I surrender unto you.
Like that, Akrura offers various prayers, and eventually, and he comes back. Then Krishna and Balaram think, did you see something wonderful or what? What happened? They innocently ask. So the Akrura says, you only gave me darshan there. And he offered another few prayers, short set. Then the chariot moves ahead and they eventually reach this Mathura. And by the time all the Krishna and Balaram and Akrura reach in Mathura, other gopas and Nanda Maharaj and elderly gopas, they all have reached Mathura already. Because Akrura's chariot got delayed in the journey, because Akrura had a vision, he was doing his Sandhya Vandana and offering prayers, etc. So when they reached Mathura, Akrura invited Krishna and Balaram. To his house, he said that, my dear Krishna and Balaram, please come to my house. Then again, there is a long prayers. Your lotus feet are the source of Ganges, you are the original source of Narayana. So, then Krishna accepted all these prayers and proposal, but he said that, I will come to your house definitely, but after killing Kamsa, after meeting my relatives, not immediately. Then Akrura, with a heavy heart, he left. And Krishna and Balaram and other gopas who came with them, they entered the city of Vrinda, city of Mathura, and they wanted to see all the details. First time they are coming to Mathura. And when Krishna and Balaram were walking in the streets of Mathura, all the Mathura vasis, women and children and so many people, they started watching this beauty of Krishna and Balaram, and they welcomed Krishna and Balaram. And while Krishna is walking in the streets of Mathura, he was searching for faces that resemble the gopis. He was searching for the innocence of the gopis. Where is that simplicity? Where is that innocence? Where is that beautiful face of the gopis? So he was also very much perturbed because of coming out of Vrindavan. And in heart, secretly, Krishna cried for in separation from the gopis. So, like, a person may also undergo a lot of anxiety, but he is answerable to hundreds of people. So many people are looking forward for answers from that person many times. And that person feels the responsibility to give answers to all these people and accept their blames and whatever, but he is also helpless. Many times it happens. We are handling a few people and they have their needs, they have their requests or demands or expectations from you, and you definitely have a concern for them, but you are also helplessly bound by something else for which you are unable to address their needs. We have discussed a lot about gopi separation from Krishna and how they cried Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, and they were like blaming Krishna also. He is like this only, he has used us, he has taken our association and now he is leaving us, he will maintain new friends, etc., etc. All the gopis have blamed, and Sukadeva Goswami also siding the gopis, and so many things are happening. But you should empathize with Krishna also. That's why Acharya Jains bring out this point. Krishna also secretly cried. It is so painful for Krishna also to leave Vrindavan. There are billions of gopis who are blaming Krishna. And where will Krishna express his heart? Many times we are also put in that kind of situations. We are answerable to 100 people. And many people hold you responsible. But you are also helpless. What you can do? And tolerating. And you understand what their feelings are also genuine, and I need to address them and you accept them. All that you say, but you are also helpless. Right? So, Krishna also cannot avoid this. So, Krishna goes and he goes to a washerman. On the way, as he is walking in the streets of Mathura, he sees a washerman and asks him, very lovingly and respectfully he asks him, "My dear washerman, if you give me some good clothes for all of us, you will have great fortune, you will have great auspiciousness." Then the washerman very arrogantly said that, "You are mountain wanderers, you are forest dwellers, how dare you expect the clothes of a king? I am the king's washerman, these are all king's clothes. You don't deserve to wear all this. You are all uncivilized village people. How dare you expect it? And if you ask like this, the king's men, the soldiers will come and loot you, punish you and kill you. Get lost." Then Krishna killed him just by his fingertips. Like that he did. And he separated his head from his body and he took all the clothes. So, if one voluntarily offers whatever he has to Krishna, Krishna will be happy to accept it. But one should not withhold, one should not hold back what he has. And ultimately that will reach Krishna anyways, because everything belongs to Krishna. Better you voluntarily accept and become an object of his mercy instead of selfishly holding it back and becoming an object of his anger. And Krishna moves ahead. And actually that washerman was the washerman who commented on Mother Sita in Ayodhya, all that we have discussed. And Krishna moves ahead and then he says a weaver. And weaver also very lovingly offers him some ornaments, cloth ornaments that are suitable for his wrestling match. And Krishna accepts them and graces him and then he moves ahead. And he goes to florist Sudama. Sudama did not even come out of his house to see Krishna, what's happening with him. All while many other people were very eager to see Krishna. But Krishna started searching for Sudama. "Hey, there is some florist here, where is he, where is he?" He came and Sudama was absorbed in making garland. And as soon as Krishna came in front of him, Sudama was surprised and then offered the best of his garlands to Krishna, and which are made with such fresh flowers. And also the bees were surrounding those flowers, so they are considered very fresh. So Krishna very was pleased and Sudama offered beautiful prayers. He asked for pure devotional service and friendship with all the devotees and compassion upon all living beings. Then Krishna moved ahead. He saw Kubja, Trivakra. So she is a woman who was hunchback woman, and she was going to Kamsa to serve him some ointments. And as soon as she saw Krishna, she very generously offered all ointments to Krishna. She was so attracted to her beauty, attracted to his beauty. And Krishna wanted to cause some benefit to her. So Krishna just picked up his four fingers and then raised her like this. Krishna took his four fingers and then raised her chin like this. And she became straight. And other acharyas say that he took his two fingers and did like this, giving a support with his left hand on her back. So like that, she became straight. And she transformed into a very beautiful woman. She was actually Surpanakha. She had lusty desire towards Ram in the previous life. Now she has some lusty feelings towards Krishna. And she immediately said that you should come to me. Then Krishna said, "Yes, I will come to you, but not now, later." So she moved ahead. Krishna moved ahead and he went to the sacrificial bow. He wanted to see that. And some of the soldiers have come, so stopped Krishna. "You are a small boy, what work you have with this bow? You cannot be here. You should get out," like that they were saying. And Krishna and Balram just threw them away, and Krishna went directly to the bow. And Krishna broke that bow. Just like Lord Ram broke one Shiva's bow, Krishna also broke another bow of Lord Shiva. Then picking up the two pieces of that bow, Krishna and Balram started beating all the other soldiers and then killed some of them. So Krishna killed washerman, Krishna killed some of the soldiers here, Krishna broke the sacrificial bow. He came for Dhanuryaga and he broke the dhanush. What Dhanuryaga this fellow will do, Kamsa? And that sound went to Kamsa. And Kamsa was so perturbed. "What happened? What happened?" Then somebody came and told him, one black fellow and one white fellow went to that Dhanush, and that black boy just broke the bow. Then Kamsa understood, oh, it is Krishna only, and his fear increased, and he started seeing so many bad omens in his dreams, and even when he's awake also he saw so many bad omens. And Krishna came back to his tent where Nanda Maharaj and other gopas were there. A temporary arrangement was made, his accommodation. Then Krishna was peacefully sleeping, and Balramji also was peacefully sleeping. They came back and they ate milk, rice mixed with milk and sugar, packed by Mother Yashoda in the morning. It remained fresh till the evening. So they ate that and they peacefully slept. Although they killed some people, they did not even bother to take bath. But Nanda Maharaj was very anxious. He said, my boys, I told them very clearly, as they were watching the city, they should not do any mischief. They went and killed few people. What will happen? Kamsa will punish or what? He was in some tremendous anxiety. Similarly, Kamsa was in anxiety. They killed my men, they will kill me also or what? Like that he was in anxiety. So devotee is anxious to protect Krishna, and demon is anxious to protect himself from Krishna. So the next morning, Krishna and Balram went towards this wrestling arena, and on the way they saw this Kuvalayapida, huge elephant. And as soon as they encountered this fellow Mahamatra, who is the caretaker of this elephant, they started beating the elephant. You should charge this. Because Kamsa, then the previous day, he told this Mahamatra, this Kovalyapida's caretaker, that my birth secret I will tell you. I was not born out of Ugrasena. One demon named Drumila cheated my mother, and she became pregnant like that. So he came in the form of my father Ugrasena, my so-called father Ugrasena, and then they had union. That's how I was born. Ugrasena was not my real father. So now I am devoid of the protection from mother and father. So I am alone. You should take care of me. Like that he pleaded. Mahamatra, I'll take care. I have elephant, right? I am the controller of that elephant. And that elephant will Krishna and Balram. You just relax. You just sleep. So Mahamatra came. Then elephant Kovalyapida attacked Krishna. And Krishna could have killed Kovalyapida within a moment, but Krishna wanted to play with that Kovalyapida for a while. So he started running away, as if he is afraid of the elephant, and elephant is very much encouraged to fight. So elephant also started chasing Krishna, and there was a nice fight. And sometimes Krishna will hide between the legs of the elephant. Elephant is so huge, Krishna is just a 10-year-old boy. He can go below the elephant's legs and then hide between the legs. So, Krishna finally picked up Kovalyapida and then threw it down and killed Kovalyapida and took his tusks. So, Krishna and Balram took the tusks of Kovalyapida and entered the wrestling arena of Kamsa. And in the wrestling match, the match started. There was a nice conversation between Mushtika Chanura and Krishna. That in the previous chapter only it is there. They felt, Chanura is saying that you are not small boys, so come and play with us. You are very powerful. Then Krishna says that we don't know wrestling. We are just village boys. We just know some games. Then Chanura says, no, you know wrestling. We heard that during your, at the time of heading cows, you boys will wrestle amongst yourself. Then Krishna says, yes, we wrestle. That's true. But along with our boys of the same age, you look like mountain-like huge wrestlers. How can we fight with you? Then Chanura says that, no, you are not small boys. You just killed that elephant Kovalyapida. You should not lie before me, showing your false humility. So you should come and fight. Then the fight slowly started. And when Krishna entered the wrestling arena also, different people perceived Krishna in different ways. Mallanam, Ashaniranam, Naravaram, Sridam, Saro, Murtiman, Gopanam, Sajano, Satam, Kshiti, Bhujam, Shasta, Swapitro, Sishu, Mrityur, Bhojapater, Virada, Vidusham, Tattvam, Param, Yoginam, Vrishdinam, Paradevate, Tividito, Rangam, Gataha, Sagraja. So, we have elaborately discussed that verse. We will not go into any details. And when Krishna, Balram were fighting with Chandura and Mushtika, all the women who were sitting in the stadium, in various galleries, they started discussing amongst themselves that it is a very unfair match. It's not proper. These boys are so tender. They were like so delicate, like lotus. And these wrestlers are like mountain, like thunderbolts. Their bodies are like thunderbolts. So how can they wrestle with these boys like that? There was a very huge, very long talk of the Mathura woman. They appreciate the beauty of Krishna and Balram also. And they also glorify the fortune of Vrajavasis. All the Vrajavasis, especially the gopis of Vrindavan, they were only seeing Krishna and Balaram playing flute and enjoying with the boys, other boys and cows and calves. But we are so unfortunate that we are seeing Krishna and Balaram beaten up by these wrestlers. So, Gopyaha tapaha kimacharan yadamushya rupam lavanya saram asamurdham ananya siddham. Dirgbhih pivantyanu savabhinavam durrapam ekanta dhama yashasya shri aishwarasya. And they explain they describe 5-6 aspects of Krishna's beauty. And to be able to see this beautiful form of Krishna, the gopis must be so fortunate. And then they say that how gopis are so absorbed in Krishna always. What is that verse? Yadohane vahanane mathanopalepa prenkankha narbharudite kshana marjanadau gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyo shrukanthyo dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayanaha. Like that they glorify the fortune of gopis. And to pacify all these ladies of Mathura who were so concerned about Krishna's protection, Krishna immediately started attacking Chandura and Mushtika, and then eventually both of them killed. Krishna and Balaram killed Chandur and Mushtika. Then Krishna just jumped. Then Kamsa became very... and Shala Toshala Kota, they are also killed. Then Kamsa became really crazy. So he just got up from his seat and said, arrest this Vasudev, arrest this Nanda Maharaj, arrest this Devaki, Vasudev, arrest Ugrasena, I will kill all these people. I will destroy everybody. Like that he very... outrageously and in a very mad manner, he started announcing. Then Krishna just jumped from the wrestling arena into the dais, and Kamsa picked up his sword and shield and charged it towards Krishna. Then Krishna just picked up Kamsa and then threw him in the wrestling arena. By that force, Kamsa died. Then Krishna jumped from the dais into the wrestling arena, and then took Kamsa's dead body and then dragged him to show that this fellow has already died. I don't need to exert so much pressure to kill this Kamsa. So, like that Kamsa died. And his brothers came, around 8 brothers came. Krishna killed all of them. All the wives of Kamsa came and lamented. And Krishna consoled them. And later Krishna and Balaram met their parents. Devaki and Vasudeva simply stood there with joined palms, overwhelmed by their feelings of reverence momentarily. But Krishna and Balaram thought that, if they come into reverential mode, how can they show affection in Vatsalya mode? So Krishna did some magic and they came to Vatsalya mode. So later, Krishna consoled his parents Devaki and Vasudev, and Krishna speaks some comforting words to emphasize the sacrifice done by them, by the parents Vasudev and Devaki. And he begs forgiveness also, I am sorry I could not come, although you are suffering so much, I am neglectful, like that he says. And finally Ugrasena was installed as the king of Mathura again. Then eventually Krishna and Balram were sent to Sandipani Muni school. So there in 64 days Krishna learned 64 arts, and he became so well versed in the Vedas and Upanishads and all the scriptures within no time. After all, Vedaischa Sarvair Ahameva Vidyu Vedanta Krit Veda Videva Chaham. I am the compiler of Vedantas, I am the knower of Vedantas. By studying all the Vedas, I am to be known. Krishna himself says like that. For him to study some Vedas is not a big deal. So Krishna studied all the Vedas. And Krishna and Balram retrieved the dead son of Sandipani Muni. Right? They went to kill. Lord killed this Panchajana demon and brought back the son of Sandipani Muni from the abode of Yamaraj. So after this, Krishna was concerned what's happening in Vrindavan. Krishna called Uddhava and said, my dear Uddhava, you resemble me. You go to Vrindavan on my behalf and give them my message and relieve my parents and especially the gopis from the suffering that they are experiencing in separation from me. The gopis' minds are always absorbed in me. They abandon everything for my sake. So I am their very self. So you should go with them with my message. So Uddhava went to Vrindavan at a time where all the cows returned back from the pasturing grounds to the village, to their goshalas. So the whole ambience of Vrindavan was described in that context. And the cowherds' homes in Gokul appeared most charming. And Uddhava went to Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj came forward to meet him and embraced him in great happiness. And Nanda Maharaj spoke to Uddhava. So how are everyone doing? Has your travel went well? So like that. Then does Krishna remember us? His well-wishers, his friends, his parents. Does he remember the cows and forests of Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill? Will Govinda ever return to see his family even once? If he ever does so, may we get that merciful glance upon us? Like that, Nanda Maharaj fervently expressed his love and affection towards Krishna through his words. And Uddhava was astonished to see Nanda Maharaj's expression. Here Yashodamai doesn't speak anything because she was so shocked and so much in separation from Krishna. That's why she could not speak much. So then, after this whole talks, Uddhava glorified Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, because Uddhava personally witnessed the deep affection and love of Yashoda and Nanda for Krishna, and he was actually speechless. So then he glorified Nanda Maharaj and Yashodamai for their absorption, and he glorified Krishna also. And later he consoled Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and he said, please do not lament, Krishna will come back. So after that, Uddhava then approaches the gopis. Actually, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda and Uddhava, they were conversing in the night, and the night almost passed. Early in the morning, the gopis just got up from their sleep or whatever. We don't know whether they slept or not properly. They got up and they saw a chariot from Mathura. They thought Akrura has come back or what? Akrura took our life from Vrindavan. That is Krishna. Now did he come to take our dead bodies to Mathura and offer them to his master, beloved master Kamsa? So where did he come? Like that they were speaking some bitter words against Akrura. Then they saw Krishna. They saw someone resembling Krishna, that is Uddhava. Then they felt that, who is this man? He's exactly looking like Krishna. He's wearing clothes of Krishna. He's wearing ornaments of Krishna. He looks like Krishna only, same complexion. So all the gopis just surrounded Uddhava immediately. He's a stranger. For them, first time they are seeing. But they noticed that Uddhava resembled Krishna. All of them gathered in front of Uddhava and asked him various questions. And then they took Uddhava into seclusion. And gopis honored Uddhava. So they started speaking to Uddhava in various ways. You know, you must be the personal servant of Krishna. Krishna had sent you maybe to console his parents, because Krishna is so absorbed in his Mathura affairs that he doesn't remember Vrindavan. But out of his fear of public opinion, that people may describe him as ungrateful person towards his parents, he had sent you as his representative to console his parents. And we are no one to him. So he doesn't remember us in any way. So just to console his parents, he had sent you. So, and definitely we are sure that you didn't want to come here. Otherwise, once someone comes in touch with Krishna, he is so attracted to Krishna that he doesn't want to leave his company. How could you come here, leaving Krishna's company? So then they said, does he remember the pastimes of Raja? Does he remember the bondage of his family members and gopis and other people? Like that they spoke a lot, and they were kind of blaming Krishna also in their speech. Just like birds abandon a tree. Nishvam tejanti ganika akalpam rupatim prajaha adhita vidya acharyam ritvijam datta dakshinam. Just like prostitutes abandon a man who does not have money, and citizens abandon a king who is incompetent, and students abandon a teacher once the education is over, and just like priests abandon a yajamani, or yajamani abandons priest once the sacrifice is over, when the dakshina is given. So like that Krishna also abandoned us after using us. Like that, in various ways they kind of criticize also Krishna. And one gopi, Srimati Radharani, she started speaking this Bhramara Gita, which has 10 kinds of impulsive speech spoken by a lover in her deep absorption and love for her beloved. Here it is Radharani's love for Krishna. So that is very esoteric and very deep thing. And Uddhava said, actually Krishna had sent a letter with me to you to console you. Actually, I don't understand what is written in this letter. Maybe you will understand it better. Please hear. Then he started speaking, narrating what is written in the letter. So we will not go into the details, because we went into a lot of details of this. So just like Krishna tried to console the gopis by speaking some karma yoga when they came in the middle of the night before Rasa Leela, in 10th canto, 29th chapter. In this letter, Krishna started speaking some jnana yoga. Apparently it is jnana yoga. So Krishna spoke to the gopis that actually you and me are never separated. Just like in everybody's body, material elements are there. Mind, life, sense, life, air, senses, all are there. So I am the one who create, maintain and destroy everything with my personal energy. So soul is distinct from everything. We can perceive the soul through the functions of Jagrata, through all the stages, Jagrata, Swapna and Sushupti. So, we, just like one sleeps and after he gets up, whatever he has seen in the dream is illusory. That's no more relevant for him. Similarly, all of you should not think that whatever association we had in the last decade or so is not irrelevant or temporary or non-existent like a dream. It is not a dream for you, it is permanent. Whatever association we had with each other, earlier it was factual, it is not gone yet, it is still there with us. So therefore you should control your mind and should not think that you lost me. I am still there with you. So you should control the mind. So many things he says. And I stayed away from you only to intensify your meditation upon me and to draw your minds closer to me. But gopis cannot accept this argument. Krishna understands it and immediately he says that, no. Because you are so absorbed in me, very soon you will also gain my personal presence. So then gopis are pacified. Like that there are so many other points in this. So gopis told Uddhava, it is good that Kamsa got killed and Achyuta is living with the relatives. So, and gopis also spoke so many things after this. So does he recall, although just now they were pacified to hear from Krishna's letter that Krishna is going to come back soon and they will have his personal association soon, still gopis, in their intense love for Krishna, they started doubting Krishna. Will he come back? He will just say like that, he will not come back. Like that they spoke in various ways. We will not go into all these details. So Uddhava stayed in Vrindavan for some time, quite some time. And Uddhava sang about the gopis. Etaha param tanubhrito bhuvi gopavadho govinda eva nikhilatmani rudhavava. All the gopis have developed such deep, intense love and affection towards Krishna. So this is unattainable by anyone. How amazing is that simple women have achieved such highest love for the Lord. And one more thing he says, he expresses his desire. Asam aho charana renu jusham ahansyam. I want the dust of all these gopis. For that I can become a creeper or a bush or a blade of grass in Vrindavan also, so that I can get their dust. I can even become like that outside Vrindavan also, if I am not qualified to stay in Vrindavan as a blade of grass. So sometimes when they come out of Vrindavan, they may step on me. Like that he says. And eventually he starts to Mathura. Then Nanda Maharaj and others come and say, may our mental functions always take shelter of Krishna. Manaso vrittayo nasyuhu Krishna padambujashrayaha vacho bhidayinir nam nam kayastat prahavanadishu. So whatever, all our physical, mental, intellectual and all our endeavors, may they be dedicated to Krishna and may we chant his holiness and may we serve him always. And Uddhava is so impressed and inspired and astonished to see the deep affection of all the Vrajavasis towards Krishna. And he stayed for a few months and had constant Krishna Katha with all the Vrajavasis. He would just go and just get into a conversation with some Vrajavasis and they speak some memories of Krishna, and then Uddhava sits and hears all that. And then Uddhava starts speaking something, whatever he knows, in his brief association with Krishna, and all of them here. So like that, constantly he was absorbed in Krishna Katha during his stay in Vrindavan. Then eventually, Krishna comes back. Uddhava comes back to Mathura, and Krishna asks him what all has happened. Please narrate. Then for several days, Krishna sat and heard all that Uddhava spoke to Krishna about Vrindavan. After some time, Krishna remembered his promise to Trivakra, Kubja. He went to Kubja's place along with Uddhava. And Uddhava and Krishna, both of them were offered seats. So both of them were offered seats by Trivakra or Kubja, but Uddhava did not accept that seat. How can I be, how can I sit on the same seat or receive a similar treatment as Krishna? So Krishna is having an intimate association with Kubja. So just because I came with him, she is treating me also like this, but I am not qualified for it. He sat down. So then Krishna stayed with Kubja for a while, and then he started leaving. And Kubja said, please stay for some more time. Because Kubja was representing earth. So Krishna's visits or Krishna's stay on earth planet is only for a brief amount of time. He will not permanently stay here. So that is what is representing Krishna's connection with Kubja, which is very brief. So after this, Krishna went to Akrura's house. He wanted to please all the devotees. He went to Akrura's house, and Akrura offers us beautiful prayers. Another set of long prayers. We don't have much time to go into details. So Akrura expresses his deep knowledge about Krishna. So you establish the path of the Vedas for the benefit of the common people. If any time they were obstructed, you come here as incarnations which are in mode of pure goodness. So after this, we had this chapter 2 years back sitting next to Madan Mohan temple, Radhesham Prabhu's batch, Akrura's prayers. So we had many classes in Vrindavan. We'll have for your batch also someday during winter. Radhamani had, correct. Like that. We'll have in Barsana this time. Barsana is a very wonderful place. So Akrura offered prayers. After that, Krishna told Akrura, you should go to Hastinapur service. Okay, prayers are over, pleasantries are over. So now there is service, business. You should go to Hastinapur and check out what's happening with Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is very partial towards his own sons and behaving very mercilessly and cruelly towards the Pandavas, his nephews. So Akrura goes there, and Akrura stays there for a while, and he also pacifies Kunti Maharani. He meets Bhishma, Vidura, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, Karana, Duryodhana, all these people. And like that, there is a lot of details of the conversation between Akrura and Vidura and Kunti. So he consoles them. And also, Kunti expresses her dependence on Krishna. And Akrura goes to Dhritarashtra and then says that as a king, it is your responsibility to take care of every single citizen properly. What to speak of your nephews? You are unable to treat your 5 nephews properly, as good as your sons, but how can you treat all your citizens with equanimity and neutrality? So that is impossible. So you should do like this. So he gives so many suggestions. But Dhritarashtra, out of his his overconfidence or pride or undue affection towards his own son, you know what he says? He internally thinks that whatever you are saying, I already know. Right? You don't have to say anything, all this. Many times when we are given some good advice, no? Our pride makes us think that whatever this person is saying, I already know. But the very fact that he came to me and spoke all this indicates that I need a correction. In most cases, may not be in all cases. So one should not be proud when he's receiving a good suggestion, some advice from another person. But Dhritarashtra, he thought that whatever Akrura is speaking, I already know. But externally he exhibited humility that, my dear Akrura, you spoke wonderfully. And my limitation is, just like lightning cannot stay in the cloud for a long time, it just flashes and then goes away. Similarly, your instructions also cannot stay with me for longer time. Because I am so affectionate to my son, Duryodhan. And things are already set into motion and they are going in a certain way. And I cannot change the course of the events. I cannot, this is all destiny, this is all fate. How can anyone change destiny and fate? Wait a minute. What is destiny? What is fate? Destiny is what you create by your own actions, not your future. Right? If you act appropriately now, you can change what's going to happen in future. It's not that you cannot change and then you have the responsibility to act properly in this situation, and your not acting properly is not destination. The result of your acting properly or not properly is the destiny, is destination, destiny, is the actual destiny. So Dhritarashtra's example gives us this grave lesson that everyone has the responsibility to act appropriately according to his knowledge and always try to do the right thing. And if he's attempting to do the right thing despite all odds and still he's unable to do it for whatever reasons, then one can say that, oh, what can I do? But he, doing the right thing is there in his hands. He has the opportunity to do the right thing, but still he's not doing. So that is not destiny. That's not fate. So that's the essential message. You must have seen the last purport. Nevertheless, Dhritarashtra is not an ordinary person because Krishna gives him special vision to see him. And in this chapter also he offers a wonderful prayer to Krishna saying that Krishna has descended to kill all the miscreants in this world. And my sons are also miscreants. That also he knows. But he's unable to do anything. He could have stopped. Because he is king, he is sitting on the throne, he could have ordered to stop this gambling match. He could have ordered to stop this Draupadi Vastraharan, that attempt. But he did not do anything like that. So he acted out of his sheer. He is controlled by his affection towards his son. Many times we know what is right to do, but we don't act rightly. That quality is being represented by Dhritarashtra. Akrura comes back to Dwaraka. And he's successful in his attempt, successful in his visit. Although he could not bring any transformation in Dhritarashtra's mind, nevertheless he solaced Kunti and all. But because he was obedient to Krishna's instruction, he did not say, Krishna, you already know what's happening there. Why are you sending me to know what's happening there? It's redundant, no? Some services appear redundant, but that's an opportunity for us to develop humility. So Krishna establishes the city of Dwaraka. That is the last chapter for today's discussion. I'm crossing one. Please bear 5 more minutes. So Jarasandha attacks Mathura. Jarasandha is the father-in-law of Kamsa, beloved father-in-law. So his daughters have become widows. Jarasandha was so impressed with Kamsa's prowess that Kamsa can take my Kavalya Peda and then throw him 80 miles away. He must be really powerful. So I'll make him my son-in-law. Like that he gives his daughters. So he became very angry upon Krishna and Balaram because Krishna killed Kamsa. So he comes with so many Akshohinis of Sena and fights with Krishna, and Krishna kills all of them very easily. And there was a conversation also, Jarasandha and Krishna, they converse with each other. Jarasandha is one of the most comical characters in Bhagavatam, that although he was defeated 17 times, every time he has same enthusiasm to fight with Krishna. But Krishna is very happy with Jarasandha. He is very grateful to Jarasandha that Jarasandha, without my efforts of going everywhere and then killing all these demoniac people, Jarasandha is just grouping and forming and gathering all these demoniac people and bringing right at my doorstep so that I can kill all of them without putting any extra effort. So Jarasandha was defeated like that. And after doing that so many times, 17th time, when Jarasandha killed, Jarasandha came to attack. At that time, Kalayavana also came to attack. Simultaneously. With some 3 crore soldiers, I think. 3 crore or 3 lakh soldiers. How many? Number is not there. Okay, 3 crore or 3 lakh. 3 is correct. Huh? Huh? 3 million. Oh, 30 lakh. Huh? 30 million. 3 crores only. 3 crore soldiers. Yeah, 3 crore. So Kalyana also attacks. So Krishna thought it wise to just run away. Because Kalyana has to be killed. Krishna cannot kill Kalyana. He can kill if he wants. But he does not want to violate the benediction given by Lord Shiva to Kalayavana. That story comes in one purport, we can go through. So Krishna just makes a fort overnight in Kushadvipa. No, Kushasthali. Kushasthali Dvipa in the midst of ocean. And he transfers all the Mathuravasis into Dwaraka. And Krishna alone is there at Mathura. So he starts running away when Kalayavana comes to attack. And he takes him to Muchkunda's place and then there he is died. So the rest of the story you know. Those chapters are also covered. So Krishna... then Jarasandha attacks Krishna. He started chasing Krishna and then Krishna and Balram, they go on a mountain and then from there they jump from that mountain. That we'll discuss in the next overview session. Okay, 50 chapters are over in 2 hours. Thank you all very much. Granthraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.